This is 24-hour-a-day radio with your music host, Dave Fletcher, 6 to midnight, KRNR, Roseburg, Oregon.
Time now for 5 minutes of news from the CBS Radio Network. That's followed by the Mystery Theater.
CBS News. Armies of both Turkey and Greece are being mobilized and placed on alert, but major political efforts are underway to prevent a military clash over the Cyprus question. I'm Stuart Novins, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Undersecretary of State Joseph Sisko has been directed to fly to London tonight to confer on the Cyprus situation with British and Turkish leaders. Turkey's Premier Ecevit met for 4 hours tonight with Prime Minister Wilson. They'll meet again tomorrow. Archbishop Makarios met with Wilson earlier. Makarios said Wilson had assured him of British help in keeping Cyprus independent. The NATO allies today urged Greece to remove the 650 Greek officers on Cyprus, the men who both Makarios and the Turks say engineered the coup. The Soviet Union has also called for their removal. The reports filtering out of Cyprus itself indicate that the new military junta is in control, that fighting has dwindled down to relative quiet. At the United Nations, a diplomatic struggle over control of Cyprus has begun. Richard C. Hartlett reports.
The rebel government in Nicosia has officially revoked the credentials of Ambassador Zenon Rosidas, who has represented Cyprus here since it became independent. Rosidas is ignoring the dismissal and intends to accompany Archbishop Makarios when Makarios addresses the Security Council Friday morning. For the moment, there seems little doubt Makarios will win this round. The rebel government has not been recognized by any other state and therefore has no international standing. All the members of the council still recognize Makarios. But this is only a preliminary round. The big fight will come over Makarios' demand that the world community end what he calls the new Greek dictatorship that has seized power in Cyprus. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
More news in a minute.
Digel has told you that occasional acid indigestion and heartburn are often accompanied by gas. Now, a report from the U.S. government confirms that the only ingredients recognized effective against both acid indigestion and gas are an antacid combined with simethicone. That's exactly what Digel is. No antacid alone relieves like Digel does. Use only as directed. Digel, liquid or tablets, relieves acid indigestion. Relieves gas, too. Digel.
I get so embarrassed. My dentures come loose when I eat, even though I use an adhesive.
This denture wearer should change to Cushion Grip, the thermoplastic denture adhesive which hot or cold liquids can't dissolve. One application of Cushion Grip creates a comfort cushion seal that holds dentures securely up to 4 days. No more need to apply messy powders, creams, or paste 2 or 3 times daily. Cushion Grip stays on up to 4 days. So change to Cushion Grip.
The New Zealand government says that France has exploded another nuclear device in the atmosphere. New Zealand's Prime Minister Kirk says the test in the Pacific area occurred today. That appears to be the fourth in the French series. Chairman Peter Rodino of the House Judiciary Committee says the principal committee debate on impeachment next week may be televised. He says he expects the House will vote to suspend the usual rules against broadcasting committee meetings. The issue may be clarified tomorrow when the House Rules Committee meets. Tomorrow night, the House Impeachment Group will release 5 more volumes of evidence gathered about White House domestic surveillance activities. The material will also include statements made before the committee by President Nixon's attorney, James Sinclair. The Portuguese President, Antonio de Spínola, today named a new cabinet, the second in the 10 weeks since the dictatorship was overthrown. The new government consists largely of military officers. Among the civilians appointed are the heads of the Communist and Socialist parties. The government insists it is determined to develop a workable democracy. King Hussein of Jordan and President Sadat of Egypt agreed today to form a joint military committee and other joint committees that will work toward a coordinated posture when the Middle East Peace Conference begins in Geneva. That's expected to come this fall. More after this.
May I help you?
Yeah, sweetheart. I heard you four dealers were having a late show and I wasn't invited.
Yes, we're having a spectacular end of the season clearance sale, but everyone's invited. You can take advantage of the low clearance prices on the Quiet LTD and mid-sized Torino.
Hey, that's swell.
And just look at the low prices on the Ford Maverick, Pinto, Mustang 2, and Magnificent Thunderbird.
Gee, little my mom hears about this.
Don't miss your Ford dealer's late clearance show. The price of admission may never be this low again. If you're driving the family on a vacation this year, tell the kids they can save you some money every time they spot the sign of Sleepy Bear. Because that little bear means you found a travel lodge. And that's like finding extra money lying around. Every room has a TV, big comfortable beds, and a price tag that helps the vacation last. Look for that little bear and find yourself a travel lodge.
Treasury Secretary William Simon met today in Tel Aviv with Israeli leaders. He was told that Israel needs $2 billion a year in military and economic aid from the United States. Israel's financial position is precarious. It has a balance of payments deficit of about $3 billion, and it's probably the highest taxed country in the world. The United States has agreed to set up a cabinet-level committee to help Israel. Stuart Novins, CBS News.
Hey, we're the Action Corps. See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, T.
We could go on all day. Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
The House Judiciary Committee hears testimony regarding a $2 million campaign pledge from the dairy industry for Nixon's re-election campaign. I'm Fulton Lewis in the Mutual Broadcasting System studios in Washington, D.C. My commentary after this.
You stand alone and wait. She's 20 minutes late. She'll find a smile. We'll go a long, long way. Just check the smile on any crocodile. You'll find a smile. We'll go a long, long way.
Ah, yes. Savor those smiles in great pictures with Kodak's Pocket Smile Saver Kit. You get the newest, littlest pocket Instamatic camera, a roll of color film, magic cubes, extender, a handsome carrying case, and more. All for less than $30. So you save money while you save those smiles. The Kodak Pocket Smile Saver Kit at your photo dealers for a limited time only.
With just a little cheer that spreads from ear to ear, a little smile will help you light your way.
The House Judiciary Committee today heard testimony about a $2 million campaign pledge from the dairy industry for President Nixon's re-election campaign, a pledge that one member said might lead to a bribery charge against the president in the committee's impeachment inquiry. New York Democrat Representative Elizabeth Holtzman, a staunch anti-Nixon member of the Judiciary panel, said we're beginning to establish a case of bribery. She said that after emerging from a closed-door committee session with Herbert Kalmbach, the president's former personal attorney. Other members of the panel disagreed, though, and several said that Kalmbach had added nothing to the testimony about the milk deal that he had not previously given to the Senate Watergate Committee. Ms. Holtzman would not elaborate on her statement of today. Kalmbach did give the committee a detailed chronology of the timing of the milk price increase, which President Nixon decided to grant on March 23, 1971, but which was not announced in public until 2 days later. Kalmbach reportedly told of a midnight meeting in a Washington hotel on March 24th, at which a spokesman for the dairy industry reaffirmed a previously given pledge to contribute $2 million to the president's reelection campaign. California Republican Representative Charles Wiggins, a pro-Nixon member of the Judiciary Committee, said today that Kalmbach did not establish any link between that campaign pledge and the president's decision to raise the milk prices. Iowa Republican Representative Wowie Maine said that it was clear to him from the evidence given to the committee today that the president was responding to heavy political pressure from the Congress in agreeing to increase the support price for milk. In other words, he was not responding to the campaign financial pledge from the dairy industry. Kalmbach today was the last witness to be heard by the committee. Tomorrow it turns its attention to the task of drawing up and voting on proposed articles of impeachment. Following his testimony, James St. Clair, the president's counsel, was to be given an opportunity to submit a brief and make oral arguments summing up the case against impeachment. At least six articles, the chief one charging obstruction of justice in connection with the Watergate cover-up case, are reported to be drafted and ready for presentation to the committee. That presentation will be made in private briefing sessions on both tomorrow and again on Friday. Committee Democrats hope that they will be able to pick up the votes of at least five Republican members for the impeachment of President Nixon. If that is the case, they feel that impeachment will carry the full House by a minimum of 60 votes. Listeners to these commentaries will recall, no doubt, my interviews with Rabbi Baruch Korf of Providence, Rhode Island. He is the head of the anti-impeachment organization known as the National Citizens Committee for Fairness to the Presidency. Yesterday, Rabbi Korf's new paperback book, The Personal Nixon, Staying on the Summit, was released. That book contains an interview that Rabbi Korf had with President Nixon in which the president said that he believes there has been what Mr. Nixon termed harassment on a massive basis of innocent people by some members of the press and prosecutors in the Watergate case. The president said the chance to get a fair trial anyplace is impossible for any Watergate figure. In his interview with Rabbi Korf, the president said that if the charges against him in connection with Watergate were true, I, the president, would not serve for 1 minute, and nobody would have to ask him to resign. He termed Watergate the thinnest scandal in American history. Mr. Nixon also said that if he had bugged out of Vietnam, as some liberal members of the press had wanted, Watergate, in the president's words, would have been a blip. They wouldn't have cared. Rabbi Korf said that the May 13th interview at the White House was arranged by Bruce Hershenson, a deputy assistant to the president. Hershenson also provided a flattering commentary about the author for the back cover. Staffers in the press office of the Western White House were providing duplicate copies of sections of the interview for distribution to reporters. Rabbi Korf's committee published the $1.25 paperback and will print 300,000 copies in the next month. The rabbi said it's a key time in the Watergate impeachment proceedings. The committee gets the royalties. A tape-recorded interview contains a defense of the president's position, harsh criticism of the news media and some of the special Watergate prosecutor's men, and a denial of any anti-Semitism in response to reports of racial slurs and transcripts of some presidential conversations. In the interview, the president said that if charges against him on Watergate and the cover-up were true, nobody, to use the president's words, nobody would have to ask me to resign. I would not serve for 1 minute if those charges were true, but I know they are not true, and therefore I will stay here, do the job that I was elected to do, and trust to the American constitutional process to make the final verdict. However, the president said he felt resignation or impeachment at this time would have devastating consequences in terms of foreign policy, would jeopardize the best hope we have to build a structure of peace in the world. The president also said the great majority of those who have analyzed the Watergate presidential transcripts say that they do not find an impeachable offense, but they don't like their tone. Well, the president said, I can say that if they were to tape the conversations of presidents that I have known, they wouldn't have liked their tone either. Mr. Nixon said that he believes some of Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski's eager beaver staffers had engaged in what Mr. Nixon termed an abusive process. He said it will be found that there has been harassment on a massive basis of innocent people that many without guilt have had their reputations badly damaged. Many who have been charged with guilt have been charged on flimsy indictments, as was indicated in the Mitchell Stans trial. He was referring to former Attorney General John Mitchell and former Commerce Secretary Maurice Stans, who were both acquitted of criminal conspiracy charges in connection with fundraising efforts for the president's 1972 re-election campaign. Mr. Nixon charged much of the press, and particularly, I am sorry to say, much of the television press has not been responsible. When Mr. Nixon has made similar charges in the past, he refused to elaborate. The president said in the interview that as a result of congressional hearings, inspired leaks and source stories, the reputations of innocent men have been badly damaged. He added, "I have seen them tried and convicted in the press and on television so that the chance for them to get a fair trial anyplace is almost impossible." The president added, "I would say it would be extremely difficult for anyone to get a fair trial, for example, in the District of Columbia now." The president had made his comments prior to the civil rights conspiracy conviction here in Washington a week ago of his former domestic affairs advisor, John Ehrlichman. Rabbi Korf told Newsmen after meeting with the president yesterday that he personally considered the Ehrlichman verdict a blot on justice. Asked if the president agreed with that assessment, Korf told reporters, "He agrees with me that it is a blot on justice. I have the impression that he would agree with me." The president countered anti-Semitism criticism by saying that if it were so, he certainly would not have appointed Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, the U.S. Ambassador to London Walter Annenberg, and other of Jewish faith to high posts in his administration. He said that Kissinger was strongly opposed, despite his brilliance, because of the delicate Middle East negotiations. From the Mutual Studios in Washington, I'm Fulton Lewis, and that's the top of the news as it looks from here. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. For most of us, is there any more alluring form of minor masochism than the good old-fashioned ghost story? The icy fingers running shivering shocks up and down the spine, playing that fascinating dichotomy of, this might have been me, but, oh, thank the Lord, it wasn't. So this ghost story begins with Joel and Jane Trent, early 20s, married 8 months, starting out in life with a future unlimited, except the present unfortunate necessity of counting every penny to make life work and to live in some dignity and comfort. And then, the fabulous break, or what seemed a fabulous break, that marvelous ad in the classified section of the Sunday Chronicle.
Joel, I found us a home. Are you listening?
All ears.
Eminently desirable, 2 bedrooms and baths for the right couple. Fully furnished, sublet for at least 2 years. Please, not before 10 a.m. Sunday, H.S.M. Apollyon, 27 Southwest 62nd Street.
So?
So what?
That's right off Central Park. It'd cost a fortune.
I saved the best for the last. Rent, $200 a month. 1 month's security.
Oh, there's got to be something wrong with it.
Why?
It's too cheap.
Does that mean we can't look at it?
No, we'll be there on the dot, fighting the line. What have we got to lose?
What, indeed? And don't be afraid of a crowd. Yours is the only paper this ad will appear in, because it's you I want. One advantage of being a rather special printer's devil.
Our mystery drama, The Real Printer's Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Paul Hecht and Jada Rowland. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and New Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act One. You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Oh, sure. You can talk about good-tasting diet drinks, but I know. I'm Goldilocks, and here at my taste-testing laboratory, I taste-test them all. And nobody's been drinking my diet drinks until I tested sugar-free diet 7-Up. And then, kabloomy, every bear wanted some. Diet 7-Up is fresh, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
Choose from ShopRite's Sizzlin' Summer Value. Save on choice grade boneless beef roast for oven or pup. Bottom round or shoulder, just $1.19 a pound. Top round or sirloin tip roast, $1.29 a pound. Armour's 3-pound ham, just $2.89. Fresh nectarines, 39 cents a pound. Sweet Bing cherries, 59 cents a pound. ShopRite bacon, just 69 cents for a 1-pound package. And stock up on ShopRite's own Crown Top white bread. 22-ounce loaves, free for $1. There's lots more value at your ShopRite store.
She loves the family. She wants the best. She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, Ma, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
Could there be a more mundane, run-of-the-mill beginning to a really haunting ghost story than two young people on the way early on a bright Saturday morning to answer an ad for a sublet furnished apartment? But such an apartment. From their point of view, a steal at the price, at the location, containing everything they ever wanted, a long-term lease, a promise of heaven. But from another point of view, oh, well, that, as we shall see, is the hell of it.
The rooms will be small.
So? How big are we?
It'll be crawling with cockroaches.
My best friend's uncle's cousin is an exterminator.
It did say two bedrooms, didn't it?
That's what it said.
The second one is probably just a walk-in closet.
So, I'll build a fresh air duct to it. A crib doesn't take all that much floor space.
Oh, hold it.
What's the matter? The baby didn't...
No, the baby didn't do anything. It's me. Oh, the way my tummy's revolving, it's lucky there aren't three of us here already instead of two. I'm scared.
Of what?
Look, 62nd Street. This is the corner. Supposing it really smells. Supposing the price was a misprint. Supposing the John's out in the hall. Suppose someone got there first and took it.
No way, no way. It isn't even 10 a.m. yet.
Oh, never mind. Let's get going. What was the number? 15? 17?
27. There it is. On the other side of the street.
Oh, it's an attractive building.
Yeah. Hey, there's a nice little garden around the main door.
And it looks so well kept up. Oh, Joel, it just seems too good to be true.
Well, come on. Let's find his bell. Ah, here it is. H.S.M. Apollyon. That's our fairy godfather.
Don't call him that.
I don't care how gay he is. The apartment's all I care about. Press the bell.
Okay. Be ready when he buzzes down.
Yeah.
Oh. Why doesn't he answer?
Maybe he's in that John down the hall.
Oh, you...
Enter, my love.
Oh, I love the carpet. Bittersweet.
I hope nothing I said hurt his feelings.
Well, the elevator's waiting. Let's get it over with before I faint.
I have a few butterflies myself.
Got the floor number?
Yeah. And we are off.
Everything's so clean and efficient. Well taken care of. You sure it wasn't East 62nd?
No, look, here, 27 West.
I hope it's not too high up. What floor is it?
Oh, forget it, darling. That's for later. Well, here we are.
Uh-huh.
I thought I heard the lift. My Anglican background, or I should say English elevator, I meant, of course. Are you here to see the flat? Apartment, I mean, naturally.
Yeah, we are. I'm Joel Trent. This is my wife, Jane.
H.S.M. Apollyon here, and won't you come in? You know, everyone always thinks I must be retired Navy or something. HMS, you know. His Majesty's ship, whatever. Only it isn't. It's HSM. Stands for something quite different, I assure you. And besides, I'm not one for water at all. Can't abide it. Well, this is the vestibule, or the foyer, or perhaps the hall, you'd call it. As you can see, it's very much like any other of its kind.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Apollyon. It's absolutely fabulous.
Oh, well, not exactly, but how nice of you to say so. One does do quite a bit of traveling, and some of the things you see, particularly those from the East, are quite, I won't say fabulous, unique, perhaps. Now, that Chris, for example, would you believe that it has both perfume and poison forged into the steel of its blade? And the sorcerer's cane, well, that's real hair, you know, at the handle. Now, which would you like to do first? A cup of tea and get acquainted and then do the flat, or the other way around?
Oh, if you don't mind, I'm just dying to see the apartment. I mean, the flat.
Then off we go. Oh, no. And by the by, before we do start, only because once before I did have quite a disappointment after showing a rather peculiar individual the apartment some 19 years ago. This man went all the way through the apartment. He was some sort of a minister, as I remember. And after deciding to take it, he changed his mind when he learned the number of the flat. You did notice it, didn't you?
Joel knows it. I don't. What is it, Joel?
It's apartment D.
On the 13th floor.
Oh, well, that's just a silly superstition, isn't it?
Isn't it? Well, now, shall we have a look about? Do you take sugar with your tea, Mrs. Trent?
1 month, please. But really,
Mr. Trent, or would you prefer something stronger?
No, tea's just great. Two. Lumps, I mean.
And how about milk, Mrs. Trent?
No, thanks. Neither of us. But really, Mr. Apollyon, this is awfully kind of you, but we must be holding you up. I'm sure there'll be loads of other people in answer to your ad.
Well, they're not here yet, so we can enjoy our tea, eh? Besides, my dear, I have a sneaking suspicion that... your cup, Mr. Trent.
Thank you.
That not so many people are going to turn up in answer to the ad.
For a dream apartment like this, I can't believe that.
I was surprised there wasn't a line a mile long.
Well, how nice both of you are. You know, I've really taken quite a fancy to you.
That's very sweet of you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
It's so difficult today to find young people with all the good old-fashioned virtues. What am I saying? It's been very difficult for generations. So for my purpose, you're quite ideal.
I don't quite understand.
Oh, I thought I'd make myself quite clear. You're just the people I want in my apartment. That is, of course, if you're interested. And if there's anything I can do to make it more attractive to you...
Attractive? Well, the whole place is just a dream. It's the sort of place Joel and I made up dreams about living in after saving everything we could make for the next 10 or 20 years. And now to think that at a price we can afford, we can start living that way right now.
Oh, dear me. Now, I didn't mean to upset her.
She's only crying because she's so happy. You see, you got to excuse her. It says in the book that women in her condition sort of...
Oh, Joel.
Oh, I just slipped out, Jane.
Women in the...
We just thought we'd have trouble finding something we could afford, and we wanted to have plenty of time. Aunt Gertrude's place in Mount Vernon just doesn't have room for all of us now, let alone...
Why, you're going to have a baby. Well, now, isn't that nice? My congratulations. It's a sort of a bonus, in a way.
You mean you don't mind babies?
Mind? I love them, just adore them. You can't know how much extra pleasure they afford me.
Oh, gee, that's great. What did you mean, a sort of bonus?
Oh, that... Why, to think of being able to use the crib and the baby bath and all those things I once bought for a tenant and his wife and baby who were unfortunately lost in a plane crash on the very day they were to move in.
Oh, how awful.
Yes, snatched away from me at the last moment. Oh, I don't mean that the way it sounds. You see, I've grown almost as fond of them as I have of you. Now, we must get down to business. I'll have the bed taken out of the small bedroom and set up the crib for you. And when could you move in?
Why, the sooner the better.
At your convenience, of course.
Oh, if I told you my convenience, my dears, I'm sure I would shock you.
Try me.
Well, today. This minute, this afternoon, if at all possible, not later than 6 o'clock.
You shocked me.
I know the ad said immediate occupancy, but I wasn't quite expecting it.
Let me explain. I had a tenant, you see, a most interesting man, a sort of a Billy Sunday, you might say. Fascinating challenge.
Challenge?
Oh, well, I shouldn't admit it, but I feel I know you both so well, even after the short acquaintance. Do you know, I've traveled a great deal, and I've never been able to resist the inordinately evil things that men have dreamed up as the centuries went rolling by. The grimoires, the devices of the Inquisition, our own New Englanders. Well, I bought all sorts of quite horrible things. Pictures, instruments, statues, charms, and so forth. I keep them all hidden away in that big closet at the end of the hall. Oh, that's the only thing that's off limits, by the way. I keep it locked.
Oh, that would be perfectly all right. There's plenty of other closet space.
And you wouldn't be interested in this awful stuff anyway. As I said, this man was a minister, so I thought I'd really give him a start. So, I replaced everything and hung up all this perfectly awful stuff. Oh, quite bone-chilling and terribly evil.
But why?
Well, I wanted to see his reaction, so I thought I'd scare him off.
And naturally you did.
Good gracious, no, he loved it. Couldn't wait to move in. But someone greater than us solved the problem. Unfortunately, he was taken from us with a heart attack.
Oh, the poor man.
Yes, actually, he never realized how fortunate he was. Oh, but I didn't mean to depress you. Let's get back to all the fun and practical things. Now, I have some urgent business in the Near East, and I've booked an overnight plane for tonight. If I could possibly make that.
Joel, there's no reason why not, is there? You have the money.
Yeah.
And we'd have the time to run up to Mount Vernon and back and get enough clothes to settle in. Then we could bring the rest later.
Well, I guess it might be arranged. By the way, what business are you in, Mr. Apollyon?
Oh, that's a little difficult to explain. Rather like the import and export business.
Oh, you deal in objets d'art.
In a sense, yes, but perhaps a better word would be subjects. But to get back to our business, if you have the rent and the security with you, we'll exchange them for the keys and sign the leases, give you a thorough briefing on the entire apartment, and then I can be off just as soon as you return.
Well, Mr.
Joel. Oh, forgive me, but at my age, I think I can take the liberty to use your first name. I'm a rich old man with no children, and money is no object to me. Now, if the rent is too high...
$200 a month for a two-bedroom apartment furnished like a palace? Why, it's...
Hush, 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 hush. Now, it's all I want from the right people. Besides, there is one little catch to the whole thing. Oh, dear, I hope it won't prove too much of a problem.
Oh, catch?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Are you by any chance afraid of cats, Jane?
Cats? No, I love them. So does Joel. In fact, we've been thinking of getting one.
Oh, well, now that is a relief. You have one. And such a cat. Pure Abyssinian and the delight of my life. He's the only reason I must always find just the right tenant.
Can we meet him?
He might not like it.
Oh, have no fear about that. Smokey, that's his name. Smokey, he loves everyone.
Well, where is he? I'm dying to see him.
At the moment, he's at Le Chat Salon, being attended with loving care by Pierre and Christophe, so he will look his very best for his new conquests.
Conquests?
You, my dear. Oh, I promise you he will win your heart and soul when you meet him on your return.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, darling, it's marvelous. Just what we need.
Yeah, and just what we can afford.
You won't have to go tiptoeing around Aunt Gertrude's every night.
We both won't have to take a subway and a bus for 45 minutes to get to work every day. We could even walk. Jane, darling, the whole wide world's our oyster. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, but something is bothering you.
Oh, I know it's silly. It's just that 13.
Oh.
Couldn't it have been 12 or 14 or any other number?
Now, you're not going to let something silly like that bother you.
You know how superstitious I am. I just have such a funny feeling.
Maybe it's the number made it so cheap. Maybe we ought to be grateful.
I sure hope we're going to be. I guess we're in it now.
Jane, you and me just made the damnest deal in the world.
If only Joel could know how prophetic those words are. If only all of us were a little less gullible, the devil might have a long, hard task that could even discourage him. And if only he'd just take the people who are going his way. Why is he driven to tempt and maneuver and triumph by winning the others by artifice and indirection? Is it because he was once an angel? And when Lucifer fell, in his own shame, he must drag the rest of the world into the pit with him? I'll return in a moment with Act Two.
Just when you think you've packed away your sinus miseries along with your winter coat, along comes summer sinus.
My face hurts. My head aches. How could it be my sinus? It's summer.
Even a change in the weather or air pollution can make your sinus flare up. So can pollen. Your allergy can trigger sinus.
When it happens, what can I take for it?
Take Sinoff tablets. They help relieve throbbing sinus pain and help drain clogged sinus cavities. The miseries of summer sinus.
Sinoff can do all that?
Right. Sinoff tablets give you a full dose of pure aspirin for pain, plus a decongestant to help drain clogged sinus cavities, plus an anti-allergy ingredient.
Sinoff tablets. The sinus medicine in the bright red box.
For summer sinus miseries, get Sinoff. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Take only as directed.
Sinoff. I'll remember that.
Hello, Amco. My automatic transmission just got automaticing. I was wondering, do you service Chevrolets?
Do we service those sensational Chevrolets? Ma'am, Amco has serviced over 3 million automatic transmissions of all kinds.
Ah.
Nearly 900,000 Chevrolets alone.
Ooh.
Do we service Chevrolets? George, pitch pipe, please.
Chevy Nova and Impala and the Bel Air and Camaro and the Chevy, too.
Oh, my.
Yep, we know them. Every Chevrolet automatic make and model on the road today, from the oldest Biscayne to a bright, spanky Caprice. By the way, what sort of Chevy did you say you had?
A Chevy Mustang.
Well, no matter. Nobody knows your automatic transmission better than Amco. AA MCO.
There are over 500 Amco centers coast to coast. Consult your yellow pages for the Amco center near you. AA MCO. Amco.
Rocking in her chair, the bright hook flashing as she crocheted away at another rug, Aunt Gertrude found it hard to share completely in Joel and Jane's bubbling enthusiasm. Two reasons. One, she knew how large a gaping hole they would leave in her lonely life. And two, Aunt Gertrude was a pragmatist.
You say only $200 a month for that apartment.
Where shall I put my baseball spikes?
Oh, Lord, do we have to take those? What did you say, Aunt Gertrude?
Well, I just can't get over the price. It's a giveaway.
I know. But we do have to take care of the cat.
Oh, my, such a chore. Open a can twice a day.
Don't forget the litter pan.
Now, don't change the subject. Tell me, what's wrong with the apartment, I wonder? There's something fishy.
Andy, you had Bob Anderson go over the lease with a fine-tooth comb.
And he's a real estate lawyer.
Oh, I'm quite satisfied with all the legal aspects. It's just, I don't know, something else gives me a funny twinge in the left shoulder blade. Used to be a kind of storm warning. Well, now I guess it's just arthritis.
Don't worry about us, Andy. And don't, please don't have any doubt.
Why, have you been having some...
For the love of Mike, would you two Cassandras, would you lay off? Here we have the break of a century.
Oh, and... you're quite right, Joel. I guess I'm getting so old that the milk of human kindness is beginning to sour. Now, I feel just like both of you. It's just too good to be true. And to be practical, it does solve all our problems. There really isn't room for the three of us in this tiny apartment of mine, and when the baby comes...
Like the clowns climbing into the midget car.
I'm going to miss not being part of bringing up that baby, though.
Oh, you'll have plenty of chance. I'm going to leave that bed in baby's room as well as the crib. Besides, there's a huge couch in the living room.
There's the cab. Oh, brother, are we all packed?
Yes. Well, I guess this is it.
I'll take the heavy suitcase out first.
Oh, it's going to seem strange with only one instead of three.
At least we're not changing numbers.
Hmm?
Oh, the cat makes three. He's pretty special. He's an Abyssinian.
What's that?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Looks like a Siamese with blue eyes and a lovely gray coat, like the gray in chinchilla, only shorter. His name is Smokey.
Come on, Janie. Rustle the bustle. Our chariot's waiting.
Oh, wait a minute. I need the phone number.
Jane, take a couple of the shopping bags out, will you, honey, while I write it down for Andy?
Sure. Only how did you get the number? I forgot all about it.
I took it off the bedroom phone.
Oh, let me see. 313-1313. Oh, my, that's a terrible number. Especially after apartment 13D.
Janie doesn't know it yet. I want to break it to her slowly. You superstitious people.
Oh, I got a twinge in my shoulder blade now like I was bit by a horse.
Who was bit by a horse?
No one, dear. Come on, grab the rest of this gear before our impatient hacky runs out on us. Come on, be right out.
Oh, Jane, I'm going to miss you.
Oh, me too. So will Joel. What the heck? It's not the last time we'll be seeing each other. Don't forget, we're having dinner Thursday night at the New Dig.
Oh, that reminds me. Just in case I forget the address, can I have your copy of the newspaper?
No, I left it downtown.
Oh.
Don't worry, I picked you up a fresh copy. The ad is on page 37, column 5, the first one in furnished apartments. Now, look, this really is goodbye. Let's go.
I'll worry about you. Promise me to call as soon as you're settled.
Okay.
Oh, it might be almost midnight.
Don't
mind. Come on. Now, that's the last call. It sounds like the trump of doom.
Oh, right. Goodbye,
darling. Goodbye, Anchor. We'll call you. Don't worry about it.
All right, dear. Oh, I better get that address written down before I forget. Let's see. On page 37, column 5. Oh, furnished apartments. Here we are. Oh, that's very strange. The ad isn't in this paper. There's no ad at all.
Well, he didn't answer downstairs, and we have to let ourselves into the building. Maybe he's off getting old Smokey.
Well, then I guess we should just use our keys and go right in.
Well, that's what we paid the rent for. You want the honor?
No, I'm terrified to let go of this bag with the eggs in it. You open the lock.
Okay, here goes. Oh, I guess we need the bottom one, too. Yeah.
Mr. Apollyon? You try, you're louder.
Mr. Apollyon?
Oh, look. It must be Smokey.
Hey, Smokey boy.
Oh, isn't he cute? Rubbing himself against your leg, just as if he'd known you all your life.
But where's Apollyon? Hey, you don't suppose that he's...
Look at Smokey. He's backing off as if he was inviting you to come in.
Look, leave the rest of the gear here. You dump that stuff in the kitchen while I look through the rest of the house.
Joel?
Yeah, Jane, what is it?
There's a note on the refrigerator door explaining everything. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, what happened?
Darling, you know the oil shortage.
They canceled the plane he was to leave on because of too few reservations, but offered him a seat on an earlier plane.
Oh.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
What are you getting all head up about?
I don't know, Jane. I just had a kind of nutty feeling. I don't know what to call it. Death, I guess. I honestly thought I was going to find that nice old man lying somewhere with a heart attack or something. Yeah, I feel silly enough as it is. Now Smokey's laughing at me.
Not him. It's explained on a very detailed note on the fridge. It's Smokey's dinting time.
Oh.
He's hungry. Look what he gets.
Ugh, looks like raw flesh.
Well, whatever it is, you can see he loves it.
That cat is losing its attraction for me.
Oh, don't be a goon. Look how crazy you are for steak tartare.
Well, that's different. You give him some mouthwash after he's through.
Where are you going?
I'm going to bring the rest of our stuff in.
Great, just dump it in the bedroom. I'll sort it out later.
Oh, that was a wonderful dinner.
Oh, ought to be. Took long enough. What time is it?
Gee, I don't believe it. It's just midnight.
Oh, it's been a long, glorious, wonderful, relaxing...
What's that?
I don't know. Joel, that was a shot.
Oh, don't be silly. She walked out on him and shut the door.
She?
Or he, someone. Didn't old HSM give us a rundown on our neighbors?
Let's see. According to the bulletin he left on the fridge door, upstairs, no problem. A very ancient hermit who winters in Florida and seems to estivate in summer. What's that mean?
Oh, advantages of a classical education. If you sleep through the winter, you hibernate. If you sleep through the summer, you estivate, from the Latin estivare.
And I thought the Greeks always had a word for it.
No, I'm pulling your leg. I haven't the faintest idea what it is. What's the poop on our other cliff dwellers?
Let's see. A, across the hall is a widow who just left on a round-the-world cruise. B, next door is a couple of swingers who never seem to be home at the same time.
Yeah.
And next door are two young kids he thinks we'll like, who go to the movies and theater a lot.
Okay, I'll blame the noise we heard on the swingers. Let's hope that's their last contribution for tonight.
Well, we're forgetting the dishes tonight.
Oh, good. We're going to bed and pull the covers over our heads.
It mightn't be a bad idea.
Okay, let's go.
Well, what are we standing here for?
You're not just standing. I have my arms around you, and I'm loving you, and I'm wondering if maybe I was just the most trusting, gullible dum-dum in the world, and maybe you should fetch me a smart karate chop to the left temple.
What are you talking about, my darling idiot?
I'm just wishing your darling idiot hadn't taken all our dough and paid it out in cash for security and the first month's rent. How's the bed?
Like floating on air.
Then look a little happier.
I'm just remembering I forgot to call Aunt Gertrude.
Well, you can't call her now. It's after 1 o'clock. Hey, where are my pajamas?
In the old beat-up case on top. Toilet stuff, too. Oh, but before you do that, could you do me a favor?
Sure.
I forgot my calcium pill. It's with all the vitamins in the kitchen.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Oh, Lord. Please don't let me have made a terrible mistake. I loved this apartment so at first, but now... Joel? Who? Who's that? No. Please. Oh! Oh, Smokey. Oh, what a start you gave me jumping on a bed like that. Oh, you mad at me? Why are you looking at me like that? Did I forget to say goodnight? What is it? You want me to come somewhere? Oh, maybe I should have given you some milk. All right. Take care of it. No, the kitchen's that way. Not... Where is it you want to go? Joel, come here.
I'll be right there. What is it, honey?
It's Smokey. Look at him. He came and got me and led me here. He seems desperate to get into this closet.
Well, that's the one Apollyon has all his little ghoulish treasures tucked away in. We couldn't open it anyway. It's locked.
Try it, just in case. Oh, there may be something of Smokey's that got locked in there by accident.
Okay, here goes.
Oh. Oh, how terrible. How terrible. And vicious. And unspeakable. And vile. Oh, no wonder that man. Oh, Joel, close it up. Oh, just shut away that horror.
Oh, for God's sake, take me to bed and help me forget I ever saw it.
Okay, honey. What about smoking?
Whatever it was, he found it and ran. Close that door up. Shut it. Oh, I wish I could think I'll ever be able to shut it out of my mind. No wonder I thought this was all too good to be true.
Too good to be true? Better to interpolate and make it read, too true to be good. Poor Jane and Joel. But how were such simple, ordinary people to know the language of black magic? Or that HSM Apollyon is only a synonym for the more familiar and deadly spirit we usually call the devil? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
You don't see many people putting salt in their beer nowadays. Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
North Jersey is certainly getting a higher yield this season, especially with Suburban Savings Special High Yield Savings Certificate that you can raise for fun and profit. All you have to do is plant a modest $2,500 minimum in Suburban's limited issue 7.50% savings certificate. Then put your certificate in a nice safe place. Suburban takes care of the rest by compounding interest continuously from day of deposit paid quarterly. You'll get a nice healthy 7.90% effective annual yield on your 7.50% savings certificate when you let it grow from 4 to 10 years. Early withdrawal prior to maturity is, of course, subject to a substantial penalty. So for a nice healthy 7.90% annual effective yield, grow Suburban's 7.50% savings certificate for fun and profit at any Suburban Savings office in northern New Jersey.
This is WR New York, an RKO General Station, your station for Mystery Theater.
A short and classic definition of tragedy is the downfall of a noble person whose character is flawed by a single weakness which causes him to break a moral law, which leads to his destruction. But how much more tragic is the destruction of the innocent, particularly when they happen to cross the path of someone who makes their disaster equally inevitable. Which brings us back to Joel and Jane Trent.
Jane?
Yes, darling?
You stopped shaking. You think you can sleep now?
I'm sorry I was so childish before. I think it's because I'm carrying one.
No, you aren't childish. I'm just the same. I got the willies, too. I guess it's just because it's all so strange to us.
I think so, too.
Let's get a good night's sleep, like everyone else has had. Good Lord, what was that?
I don't know. It's from upstairs.
It must be the old man. What's happened to him?
I don't know. Just pay it no attention.
Pay it no attention? No one could sleep with that noise going on. I'm going to go up and tell him to stop.
Oh, no, please. Don't do that. Please don't go up there.
Well, why not? Are you going to be ill?
No, it... Yeah, up there.
You mean our noisy neighbor.
I'm scared, Joel.
Yeah.
I've had about all I can take, and that noise is really driving me up the wall.
Yeah, me too. I know what I'll do. I'll call the superintendent. Got his number on the sheet?
No. Wouldn't you know it's the one thing he left off? It's just his apartment number, 1A.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'll take a run down in the elevator and get him to come back up and see what's going on up there. Will you be all right alone?
Yes. No.
Oh, Joe, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm not usually like this. I don't know what's got into me.
I do.
What?
My son and heir.
Oh, you male chauvinist. Just because she's carrying a baby doesn't mean a woman has to act like one.
I'm sorry. I know, honey. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll just take the elevator up there, and I'll find out what's going on myself.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't know what you'd be getting into. Go get the super. His name is Bill Joseph. Oh. 1A.
All right. Okay. I gotta stop that somehow. Oh, well, here's your protector standing guard by the door. Go on in, Smokey. Keep Mrs. Trent company. I'll be right back.
That ghastly racket up there doesn't turn you a hair, Smokey. Then you're a male cat, so I suppose that makes us totally different breeds. Joe?
Yeah, Jane, it's just me. Would you believe it? That damn elevator's out of order. I rang and rang. It just stays in the first floor. That damn racket's still going on.
Yep. Only one that doesn't bother is old Smokey here. Joe, are there fire stairs?
Yeah, but I'm not going down any 13 flights just to find a locked door. All the doors, even ours, have a safety lock on them.
What are we going to do?
Well, first off, I'm going upstairs to tell Barnacle Bill, or whatever his name is.
It's Nemo.
Oh, like Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to tell Nemo to up anchor and get out of range.
Joel, don't get into any fight.
With a guy old enough to be my great-grandfather?
Joel?
Yeah, it's okay. It's me, Jane. Half a sec. Yeah, I'm right here.
Well, what did he say when you got him to open the door? What was he doing?
I don't know. He didn't open the door.
Why?
Look, I don't know how to tell you this, Jane.
Well, just tell me anyway, but tell me. What is it?
Well, I took some newspaper with me to wedge a door so I wouldn't get trapped. I fixed ours. Then when I got to the top of the stairs, it was a different kind of door.
What do you mean, different?
Well, it was... You know, one of those heavy steel fire doors with the big heavy strap bars that you slide home?
Well, why would 14 have a different kind of door from ours?
Because... Oh, well, look, Jane, darling, maybe I just try to skip the...
Well, you better not, or I don't know what might happen to...
Well, all right, take it easy. Just hang on, because I'm going to have to give you a real rocker.
Let me have it.
It's a different kind of door... Because there isn't any 14th floor at all, or 15th, or 20. All that's over us is the roof. Are you all right now, dear?
What's that you've been giving me?
Oh, Brandy, I had a good jolt myself.
The sound is still there.
That's right.
What causes it? Something loose up there on the roof?
No, I searched it thoroughly. It's not coming from the roof.
Where? The neighbors?
I checked that out. Whatever other lies Mr. Apollyon told us, there isn't anyone in any of the apartments on this floor. I've done everything but break down the doors to make sure.
Then what are we going to do? I can't take this all night, Joel.
Nobody could. I am going to call the police. I don't know what we've gotten ourselves into, but we are now getting out.
Oh, I'm afraid it's a little too late for that, Mr. Trent.
Apollyon, where the devil are you?
Sitting right in front of you, in his other form.
Smokey?
I should have known from the beginning, from his eyes. Shine a strong light in a cat's eyes, and what happens?
The pupil closes up.
Into a long, narrow slit. But in a human being?
It closes into a tight, round, dark circle.
Like Mr. Smokey. Look as the lamp shines in his eyes.
Yes, very observant, Jane. I should have been more careful. But since the illusion serves no function anymore, I might as well resume my Father Christmas guise. Normally, I wouldn't have had to return to it except for you.
Why not?
Oh, people act in so many strange degrees. Some just go to sleep no matter how strange the noise is. Some trap themselves between floors. Some very hysterical ones try to leap from roof to roof. Some break through the neighbor's doors and meet quite unexpected deaths since there's nothing but space beyond them. And some sit awake all night not realizing that morning will never come again.
And some are a little troublesome.
But none escape?
Well, it wouldn't be very good for my reputation, would it?
Who are you?
Oh, Jane, you tease me about my classical education. Little good it served me. Apollyon, of course. A synonym for the devil. And the HSM? His satanic majesty, I presume?
We all have our little conceits.
Well, this time, maybe we can take that conceit down a peg or two.
Not with the phone. It's not connected. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really exist.
Huh?
Listen.
Now what?
Well, if you will forgive the devil quoting scripture, or to be more exact, the Book of Common Prayer. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
You'd kill us?
Oh, my dears, attractive as they are, I have no interest in your corporeal presences. The soul is all I'm after.
Well, you won't get ours without a fight.
Oh!
There was no pain, my dear.
You killed him. But you won't get me.
Jane, it's too late. The contract is made.
The elevator. The elevator.
No, don't step in there. The car is... Now, why didn't she wait for me to tell her the car was still on the first floor? Poor, crushed little sparrow. What matter, the bodies live and die in the blink of time's eyelid. The soul is what lives forever. No time to waste philosophizing. Tomorrow is another equally busy day. A quick general cleanup, and then the ad must be sneaked into that one right paper so the Smithers will get it. I wonder what the New York Chronicle would have to say if they knew that they had a real printer's devil. Yeah?
Oh, look, my name is Gertrude Conway, and my niece and her husband are renting Mr. Apollyon's apartment. Now, I've been trying to call them ever since last night, and
I've been
informed by the telephone company that there is no such number, but that there could be no such number. Also, Jane, my niece, she promised to call me if I didn't call her, and even if she thought last night was too late, she would have called this morning. Yes. You see, she's going to have a baby.
Oh, well, then, maybe she went to a hospital.
In the middle of her second trimester...
Huh?
The baby is less than 5 months old.
Oh. Still, you
it
know,
doesn't
she
matter
might...
anyway. I've checked with all the hospitals, and she has not been admitted. I'm worried something may have happened. I want you, please, to take me up to the apartment with the keys.
Oh, what apartment?
Mr. H.S.M. Apollyon, who sublet it to them.
Lady, we ain't got no Mr. Apollyon on it, or whatever his name is in this building.
Oh, certainly you have. This is 27 Southwest 62nd Street, isn't it?
Sure, that's right.
Oh, very well. It's apartment 13D.
13D?
That's right.
Well, that solves the whole problem.
Oh, good.
There ain't no apartment 13D in this building.
What?
Point of fact, lady, there ain't no 13th floor. You know, like most New York buildings. We go from 12 to 14 and then right up to 30.
Are you sure?
Look, I've been running this building for 22 years.
Oh, my God. I have this terrible feeling there's something awfully wrong. Nothing unusual happened around this building last night or in the neighborhood.
No. Quiet as a church, ma'am. Not even a mugging. And believe me, I get all the word when Officer Strauss drops in for his morning coffee.
But two healthy young people can't just disappear into thin air. What was the floor, George?
13.
Good thing we ain't either of us superstitious, huh?
Yeah, not at this rent. Look out for the catch, huh?
Don't worry. You just trust me.
Aha! I thought I heard the lift. My Anglican background, I should really say English, actually. Elevator, I meant, of course. Are you here to see the flat? Apartment, I mean?
Yeah. I'm George Smithers, and This is my wife, Violet.
H.S. Amapolyon here. Everyone always thinks I'm Navy, but I'm not. It isn't HMS, you see. HSM stands for something quite different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do come along in. I'm sure you're dying to see the apartment, and I can promise you I won't disappoint you.
Two more sacrificial lambs to the slaughter. Their doom, of course, is sealed. But, as Mr. Joseph says, so many people disappear in a big city every day. Not quite in this way, of course. But I suppose you can never be too careful. The sad trouble is that, as Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, the devil is most devilish when respectable. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Our cast included Jada Rowland, Paul Hecht, Ian Martin, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The preceding Mystery Theater program was furnished by the CBS Radio Network. Your dial is set for 15 minutes of late news with John Scott reporting. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station, your station for news as it happens.